Hey everyone, good to see you and thanks for having me. It's great to be here. My name is Suraj Nepali. Nepali is my surname, Nepali. I'm from Nepal. I was born into a Hindu family, very strong, devout Hindu family. And I became a Christian in my teenage. And I came to Australia in 2016. And we got married and we got two children.
Be sure to ask Suraj because there is more to that story and it's an encouraging story. If he doesn't give you enough juicy detail in his message today, be sure to ask him how he came to faith and it'll be sure to inspire you. So Suraj works on mission at the university, reaching students from the subcontinent. He'll talk more about that later on, so we won't go into that in detail. What I've been blessed most about knowing Suraj is just that you talk to him and you feel more zealous for the Lord as a result. Doesn't even seem to really matter what he says. But he's got a heart for evangelism, a heart for the Lord, a heart for the lost, and a willingness to suffer for Christ. And that is the encouragement that he's been to me. So I look forward to hearing from him as he shares out of that place today. Let's pray, shall we? Yeah. So, Father, I just want to thank you for Suraj. I thank you that you made him in your image, knit him together in his mother's womb with a very specific design that you had for him. I thank you for the natural abilities and gifts you've given him, but we thank you even more, Lord, for the spiritual gifts that you've given him, gifts that you have enriched him, just as we heard. You have enriched him in every way to be a blessing to others in every way. And I thank you, Lord, for how you called him to yourself, you saved him, and now you are, through him, bringing others to faith in you. Lord, I just thank you for that zeal. I thank you for this friendship. And I praise you, Lord, for this opportunity for him to share with us. Lord, grant us a willingness to hear your word afresh here. Lord, grant us a willingness not simply to come with preconceived understandings of what generosity looks like for us or ministry or the gospel looks like for us, but to actually be refreshed, Lord, and to hear your word as it was spoken by your Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul and now through Suraj. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was great. Thank you for your warm welcome and wonderful introduction. I've got a video to share with you. While the video is being ready, I would like to tell you a little bit about Subbies. Subbies is an evangelistic ministry, IFS ministry, at the University of Tasmania with international students. And we have five apps. We have food, fun, friends, faith, and festivals. And the people who come to Subbies are mostly from Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Sikh, and Jain religious backgrounds. And we meet weekly. We have food together, we play games, we do activities, and we share the gospel with our non-Christian friends. Let's watch the video and then...
Coming from the subcontinent to study at university began the biggest adventure of my life. But the excitement of being a new student in a new place also comes with new challenges. I miss home. I miss my family. I miss my friends. Not knowing anyone, not knowing how things work, it can be lonely, confusing, and stressful at times. That's why I'm so thankful I heard about Subbies. Subbies is for students from the subcontinent, India, Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Bangladesh. It's been a home away from home for me. Each week we enjoy good food, curries, just like my mom makes. Good fun. Games, Diwali, cricket, good friends. I met my best friends at Subbies. And good news from God. Who doesn't want to find peace? I hang out for Subbies. It's the highlight of my week. But we need more keen people to partner with us, to generously give to us, and to pray for us, so that these students will return to their home countries with the gospel, not just their university degrees, so that we might make disciples of all nations. Thank God for Subbies.
Great. You might have already figured out what we do, how we do, why we do the Subbies ministry. Just wanted to encourage you that this year is the 10th year of Subbies ministry in Tasmania. Amen. That's amazing to be able to do that ministry there. Thank you so much. And I remember when we started Subbies in 2016 with and we had only 10 non-Christian students. And by this year, we have been able to reach out to more than 5,000 international students with the gospel. The exciting thing about this is that 95% of them had never had the chance to hear the gospel properly. They knew about Jesus. They knew about Jesus, you know, being Western God with long blonde hair. That's what they knew about Jesus. But they heard the gospel for the first time. They engaged with God's word for the first time at Subbies. And it's wonderful to see them engaging with God's word. They don't agree with us, but just they come to Subbies for food, fun, and fellowship we provide. And it's really wonderful to see them reading God's word in their own language. One of the things we do at Subbies is that we get them to read the Bible in their heart language, in their language. I want to ask you a question. Anyone knows Greek? Why? The Bible was written in Greek. The actual language Jesus spoke, Paul spoke, but we don't know. Can I tell you, would you become a Christian if the Bible was not translated into English? Anyone would learn Greek? No one. Why? Why would you learn Greek? Why would you go through the pain of learning different language to follow a different religion? Exactly. That's what they feel. That's why we want them to read God's word in their heart language. The reason I'm here is because I got to read God's word in my language, Nepali. That is the power of learning, reading God's word in our heart language. And that's one of the things we do at Subbies. We have been able to read, share the gospel with thousands of international students. Only few of them have become a Christian. And sharing the gospel with Hindus or Muslims is like a long run. You have to have patience. I remember someone said that you can't make curry in a hurry. It just takes time. That is the nature of this ministry. And our vision is to make them disciples of all nations and send them back to their countries so that when they go back to their countries, they will go not just with university degrees, but also with the gospel. And that is the best gift we can give to. And yeah, so that's what we do. If you want to know more about this ministry, you can come and talk to me. And behind this wall, there's a table of Subbies. You can grab a brochure to pray for me and support me. I've got three ways you can partner with me. One is pray. That's the most important thing, pray. And if God has placed you in a position where you would like to partner with us financially, you can give. And also, you can cook for Subbies. If you know how to cook Indian curry, you can cook fast. You don't need to know. I've got the recipe. If you got time, you can actually cook for us. So pray, give, or cook. That's all. Now is the time for sermon. Great. Awesome. Let's quickly pray for the sermon. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful time you gave us. It's wonderful to come together, worship you, and also, have fellowship with this beautiful church. Thank you, God. As I speak your word, I pray that you will speak to all of us and you will help us to understand your word and also implement whatever is written in your word in our life. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, we ask this prayer. Amen. This is, do we have the PowerPoint there? This is Nikalia. I don't know how to pronounce it. Nikalia. This is from the United States of America. And around 8 months ago, she conducted her social experiment on TikTok Live. And she called dozens of well-known churches in Kentucky, asking for baby formula to feed her two-month-old baby. And she's like, hello, how are you going? I've got a 2 months old baby. I desperately need baby formula. Would you be happy to help? That's how she called. Churches, and she even had the background sound of baby crying on laptop. She doesn't have a baby. It's a social experiment, just to make it more intense. And you know what? She didn't expect to expose one of the deepest crises that some modern Christian church is facing. Out of the 32 churches she contacted, 32 churches she contacted. You know how many churches responded with compassion? Only a couple of churches. Most churches didn't help. Some churches refused politely. And some churches could not help because of the bureaucracy or whatever the procedure they had. And strikingly, among those few churches or the communities that helped were a couple of black churches and one Islamic mosque. She did this on TikTok Live, where thousands of people were watching this live, and her videos went viral, gaining millions of views and thousands of mixed comments within a couple of hours. What happened to the church that used to be the symbol of love, care, community, and unity and sacrifice? Where did we miss? How did we miss? And also she found that sometimes the church is tangled in layers of process. Compassion must go through committees, approval forms, and funding procedures. By the time help is authorized, the need has often passed. When someone is desperate for baby formula, they need people, not paperwork. And I just want to make it very clear that this is not to say that all churches are cold. No, I'm not saying that. And the structure is not bad. I have been to many churches who are doing extraordinary work, who are feeding the poor, sheltering the homeless, and supporting the people who are in need. And I belong to some of those churches. But Nikalia's experiment shows that too often the church compassion is professionalized rather than personalized. Sometimes in trying to manage charity, we forget how to be charitable. Sometimes we, you know, in trying to manage funding or the compassion fund or whatever, we forget how to be compassionate. And Paul wants us not to be like those churches that Nikalia contacted. Paul wants us to be very generous when we give. Paul wants us to be generous. And it seems like some of the believers could be like them in the church in Corinth, and Paul is dealing with them. Some people want to give, but they don't want to give generously. Even though they give, they are giving out of obligation or pressure, but they don't want to give generously. And Paul is writing this letter to help the believers in the church in Corinth, to help the Christian and the poor Christians in Jerusalem who are suffering from famine and poverty. Now Paul is sending other workers to collect the gift or the fundings, and he wants the Christians to give out of love, out of joy, not out of pressure or obligation. And in this context, Paul is clearly talking about finance. Paul is clearly talking about finance or the money. So Paul starts with this word, remember this. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Paul reminds them to look back what God has done for them, what God has given them. Paul wants them to remember God's provision in their life. Paul says, remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Paul encourages the believers in that church to be generous, to give generously. And he even says that each person should feel free to decide in their hearts, in faith, how much they should give. So Paul encourages believers to be generous, not just sometimes, not just when it's convenient for us, not just when we have enough, but he says every time, every occasion, every single occasion. In Greek, it literally means every single occasion. To be generous, to give out of love, willingness, and joy. And we should not give out of compulsion or obligation or pressure. Because our giving reflects our heart. The gift we give to others is the reflection of our heart and faith in God. The reason there are some people don't want to give generously, and I'm pretty sure there are some people in the church in Corinth. The reason people don't want to give generously is not because of lack of money, not because of lack of finance, but because lack of faith. The problem is not the finance, but the problem is the faith. The lack of faith is what hinders believers from giving generously. So when we don't have faith in God, we worry about giving. And Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So in the ancient culture, in the ancient time, the farming was also an act of faith. Paul doesn't say, if you invest wisely, then you will get a good return. He uses such a farming language. He says, the seed is grain, right? The seed is grain. It is food. And it is also security in that culture, in that context. It's a security. And in farming, you don't keep the food. You don't keep the seed. You have to throw it away into the ground and believe that God will give enough rain, enough sunshine, good enough weather. And then you have to believe that it will produce fruit. So if we hold on to it, it goes bad, it rots. But if we let it go, it produces, and also it multiplies. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is basically like, before you use your calculator, you have to use your heart how much you're going to give. Decide in your heart how much you're going to give. To be honest, God doesn't really need our money or need our finance or resources, because he owns everything. What I have is his. The finance that God has blessed me is not mine. It came from God. It belongs to God. It's given by God. So he doesn't really need it. But he wants to see our heart, how much, how we give. He doesn't want how much we can give, but he wants how we give. Our God is not a beggar. He's a father who owns everything. The question we need to ask ourselves, do I give because it makes me feel generous, or do I give because God has already been so generous to me in Christ that I'm no longer afraid of poverty? He knows. The money or the resources, the finance I have is not mine. It's God's. It's God's. It belongs to God. It came from God. But God wants us to give to others generously. Verse 7, it says, God loves a cheerful giver. So why does God love a cheerful giver? Because God himself is the ultimate cheerful giver. The Father gives the Son, John 3:16. The Son gives his life for the church, Ephesians 5:25. And the Holy Spirit gives freely, 1 Corinthians 12:11. So giving generously is the nature of God. And God has given his Son Jesus generously, lavishly. And Jesus gave his life for us lavishly. And the Holy Spirit gives the gifts generously. So giving generously is the nature of God. And when we give generously, we participate in God's nature of giving. God loves to give, and he loves a cheerful giver. If we have experienced God's provision in our life, we will not be reluctant to give generously. We will give, giving generously becomes our second nature when we trust in God. And also, I want to make one thing very clear, is that we should not give to others thinking that we'll get something in return. No, no, no. We should give to others because God has already given us enough in Christ. Because the Bible says in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Our giving reflects our sincere faith in God. If we find it really hard to give generously, that shows that we don't trust in God's provision. That reflects our unbelief and ungratefulness to God. And in verse 8, Paul repeats the word all a few times in one sentence. So he's trying to break our addiction to scarcity. If I give, I will have less. This is what the world teaches. This is the mathematics of this world. If I give, I will have less. But God's mathematics is different. If I give generously, I trust God. I prove that I trust the supplier if I give generously. And verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. So the reason God gives us so that if we can give to others, the reason God blesses so that we can bless others. I want to tell you a little bit about how giving is shaped by our culture as well. Giving and sharing in Western individualistic culture, Australian culture is very individualistic culture. So this can be very interesting for you. Giving and sharing in Western individualistic culture and giving and sharing in the Asian, Chinese, Indian or Nepalese collectivistic culture. So individualistic culture centers around individual. So individualism is all about me. It's mine, it's my life, it's my money, it's my job, I earned it, it's my decision, it's my choice, it's my right. That's how individualism works. But in a collectivistic culture, everything is shared. It's not just mine, it's my family's, it's ours. It's about community, it's about people and relationships. What is yours is mine, and what is mine is yours. In a collectivistic culture, everything is, you know, they share everything, not everything, but most things. Sharing and giving is the way of life. I want to paint a picture for you. There's a Hobart Nepali church in Lira Valley, and I'm one of the leaders of that church. One of my friends recently got married at that church, and there came a time for him to do a big wedding reception. Now, if you are like me and you have ever planned a wedding event or big event in Australia, you know exactly what goes through your mind. You immediately start crunching numbers. How much is the venue deposit, right? What is the catering quote? How many hours do I have to book the photographer for? And who is going to clean up afterwards? And how much will that cost? So we are wired to calculate. And our first question is, what is this going to cost me? That's our first question. But here's the astonishing thing about the collectivistic culture or Nepalese culture. This guy, a friend of mine, he paid nothing. I'll tell you how it worked. The venue where the reception was held, they did it at church building. It's not a rental. It's a spiritual home for them. They share. So it's for free, right? What about the food? Few chefs from the who were the church members, they did everything. They went to the shop, did all the shopping, and they spent all day sweating and cooking for more than 200 people. They lost a day's wages to serve their brother. What about the decoration? How did they decorate? Well, all the ladies in the church planned together, did the shopping together, and they decorated the whole the church hall. They didn't just put up a few streamers. They actually transformed the hall. What about the setup? What about the photographer? There's a professional photographer in the church who does this for a living. He got his expensive gear, expertise, lighting, everything, and he did really well. What about the setup? Crew of new men and women sorted out. They were rostered in. They came early. They set up everything. They served. After everything is gone, they cleaned up, packed up, done. He paid nothing. This is the moment that actually gets me. At the end of the night, my friend said, well, let me pay you something. You have done a lot of things. And they're like, pay who? Pay you who? We are family. Your joy is our joy. Your celebration is our celebration. I know from a very individualistic cultural lens, it's very hard to believe this is what happens. But this is not just one person's wedding. Every time that happens at the wedding, or any function at the church, they do it. Now you see the difference. In an individualistic Western culture, the very question we ask is, what is the invoice? We want transaction. We want to settle. We want to settle debt and keep our life separate. But in a collectivistic culture, the question is never what will this cost me? The question is always, how can I bless him and how can I be a part of his joy? What is his? What is yours is mine, and what is mine is yours. And we can do the same thing to God as well. What is God's is mine. What is mine is God's. So what is God's? The hope of eternal life, salvation, grace, mercy, peace, and gifts. God's, and he gave me. And what is mine? Sin, shame, fear, guilt, insecurity, and now he took all of them. Paul wants us to be generous every time we have every opportunity we have. I remember a story of an American missionary went to American missionary family. This American missionary family with their two little children went to some Asian country to be a missionary. One day, the missionary kids were playing really well with their toys in their yard. All of a sudden, the local neighborhood children came over, and without asking the permission, they started to play without second thought. The kids picked up the toys and started to play with the toys. And the missionary kids were shocked because normally in a Western culture, we don't share things. Well, we do, but this is my toy, you know, this is my bedtime toy. And they found it really hard to share. And there was a tension between the missionary parents and the local parents. The missionary parents thought, wow, that is so weird. Those kids came and without the consent, they started to play with our children's toys. That is so strange. But on the other hand, the local parents were like, that is so strange. Those kids don't even share their toys with the local children. But Paul actually reminds us to be generous and sharing with everyone. In verse 15, Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God gave us a gift that cannot be fully told, that cannot be fully explained. God shared heaven with us. God shared his son with us. God shared his eternal life with us. God shared his Holy Spirit with us. Let us share what we have. If we believe in God's provision, giving generously becomes your second nature. If we believe in God's faithful provision, we give generously without a second thought. Let us give, not because we will get something in return, but we got enough to share in Jesus Christ. Let us give generously because God has given us generously. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful moment you gave us. Thank you, God, for teaching us from your word to be generous. Help us to be generous on every occasion. Help us to give selflessly. Help us to trust in you when we give. And thank you, God, for giving your son for us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins. Thank you, God, for giving your life for us. And give us the same heart to give to others, to bless others, to be generous to others. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen.